Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And thanks for joining us. Welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Varla Ventura, the author of 6 books on bizarre and strange things, from the history of paranormal parlor games to vampires, banshees, and other creepy creatures of the realms of fairies. She has experienced countless paranormal events and considers herself a committed supernaturalist. She can be found lurking around in Minnesota's deep, dark woods in the hunt for beastly things, hidden history, and graveyards. And Varla, welcome back.
Why, thank you. It's great to be back.
How have you been? While. Everything good?
Yeah, things have been good. Yeah, I'm doing okay.
How's the paranormal world these days?
Well, it's, I haven't done as much traveling as I have in the past. But interestingly, it's picked up at home a little. So that's kind of fun. Or maybe it's scary. I guess it depends on your perspective.
Absolutely. What are some of your favorite paranormal topics?
I would say that I absolutely love, and this is why I love Coast to Coast, and in particular this like late hour, because I love hearing other people's stories. I like collecting, I like sharing ghost stories, and I think there's something like really lovely in that shared experience, and it happens constantly to people in the middle of the night listening to this show. It happens when I talk with people and I interview people for my books, and just, I don't know, I seem to draw ghost stories out of people. So that just like general just fun ghost stories are not fun. They can be really scary. To me, that's fun. And then the other topic that I find really interesting, and I've just gotten more and more interested in lately, is just the whole kind of some of the things that were happening in history during the rise of the spiritualist movement, and some of the channeling, and a lot of the women who were sort of rising above their ordinary ranks thanks to the paranormal parlor games. So those are some pretty, but you know what? If it's paranormal, like I'm in, basically.
You're big time, big time.
I'm in.
Should we be afraid of the paranormal?
I mean, I personally have had a few things that have startled me, and I can only speak for myself, because I know that I know people who have been very tormented by things, and I've discussed this with people, very close to me that have had really a lot of trauma with the paranormal, whether it's a poltergeist in the house or seeing something they didn't understand. But I am not of the camp of being afraid of the paranormal. In fact, I think that's why we are drawn to it, because we're looking for some kind of answers or lessons, or maybe it's just entertainment value. But whatever it is, you know, it's actually probably a little of everything, right? It's a little of all of that. And I'm not going to tell people not to be afraid, but I find that, and this is the beauty of the ghost story, I find that I am often more afraid after the fact, or hearing something after the fact, than for me, most of my experiences, I'm usually trying to explain it away in the moment and kind of trying to like rationalize what's going on. I don't automatically think, oh, that's a ghost. So I think my brain kind of kicks in and tries to rationalize it. I think that's probably happens to a lot of people. And I think it's kind of like after the fact when you can't explain it. And sometimes that could be a couple days later mm-hmm. and you start putting things together. And then in the retelling, I think things get scarier. We always have the fisherman thing, right? Where because the fish gets bigger and bigger, the monster gets bigger and scarier. But sometimes that's completely authentic, because it is scarier when we're reliving it. Because in the moment you're kind of in like, I guess, survival mode or just logical mode, which are maybe one and the same.
Do children come up with all these incredible stories that parents will generally say, you're imagining this?
I mean, so that actually kind of speaks directly to why some of us are inherently afraid of the paranormal. And again, I'm not telling people not to be afraid, because, you know, fear's a real thing. But I do think that it can start at a very young age when many of us who have had experiences have probably had them at some point when they were younger, whether that's, sort of psychic flashes or actually seeing spirits. And often the grownups around us, in a misguided attempt to protect us, will sort of say, oh, well, you're just imagining it, that there's nothing there. And, they're trying to comfort you, right? They're trying to say, hey, you know, you're going to be okay. But really what it does is it immediately invalidates whatever you've seen as a kid. So if you've legitimately seen some sort of specter in your room, and now your parent is telling you that it's not real, well, after a while, you'll just stop telling them, but that doesn't mean you're going to stop seeing it. And you don't, you don't. Maybe years go by in between when you have experiences, but by and large, I think that some of that fear comes from assuming that you're imagining it, and it kind of makes people doubt their own sanity or well-being, when in fact they're having a very common and very commonly shared experience.
Have you had your own ghostly encounters, Varla?
Absolutely have. Yeah. From a young age, I have. And I've had them throughout my life. I've had a little bit of everything. I guess I've kind of had a grab bag of paranormal experiences. I've had things touch me, the tap on the shoulder, the little tug on the hair, sitting on the bed. That's actually happened to me a few times, where something feels like it's sitting on the end of the bed. And that's a little disconcerting, because, you're like, well, am I asleep? What's going on? I've been tapped on the forehead. I've seen things kind of shimmering. I've seen things, shoot by, shadowy people. Definitely had some shadow people encounters. And probably more than anything, at least lately, I've had some clairaudience things. So that's, you've got clairvoyant, which is sort of a little bit of everything, but clairaudience specifically is being able to hear things.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people will just say, oh, I'm a clairvoyant. But what you really are is you're a clairaudient. You're hearing spirits, or you're hearing something. Like you might hear, you know, someone say, George, down the hall, and it's clear as a bell, but no one's there.
Nobody's there at all. You think somebody's in the room and they're not there.
Absolutely. I think that's probably more common. And I think that for myself, I think that probably happened more, but I lived in like a more urban area, and like, it was like, okay, you know, maybe it was my neighbors but you know, I have a pretty unusual name. So if I hear that name, I'm like, wait a second. Like how am I hearing that name? So, I think there's, so I've had all of those things. I've had a lot of clairaudience. I've even had a few things happen lately. And then I'm not sure exactly what you would classify it as, but I think a lot of people just sort of have like a feeling. You might walk into a room. I know one time I was down in Key West with my mom, and we were hitting all the cool, spooky museums. And I don't know if you've ever been to Key West.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, it's just like a little, it's just like a weirdo's paradise, quite frankly. I mean, it's lovely there. And
it's like a shrine, isn't it?
It is. And then there's just like gorgeous beaches, and you kind of have it all. And then there's also just like all, like right in the heart of Key West, you've got paranormal, you know, stories and tours, and you've got Robert the Doll that lives there, you know, that super creepy haunted doll. And then you have just like the Pirate Museum, the Shipwreck Museum. The Shipwreck Museum is actually where I had an experience where I walked in there, and we were on a little kind of, my mom and I had gone in there. We were actually on a tour, and I just all of a sudden felt like the pressure, like something was just, honestly, in retrospect, it felt like the way it feels when you dive really deep into a pool and you have that pressure. Or if you've ever gone scuba diving or snorkeling, where you go under the water and you kind of have that pressure. So it wasn't negative. It was real. It was very, very intense. And it was in a specific spot. And it got so strong, I actually had to hold on to something to keep from kind of like falling over. And I didn't say anything because I didn't want to interrupt the tour. This woman was telling us all this great historical stuff, and I was just kind of rolling with it. And I'm thinking like, whoa, what's going on? And as soon as I stepped away from that spot, I kind of got to like, it lifted. And then she went on to tell us, then she launched into like all of the strange paranormal things that had happened there. Well, the Shipwreck Museum is exactly what it sounds like. It's all of these things that have been scavenged from shipwrecks. But some of those shipwrecks were, there were, some people would just scavenge it, right? It was just kind of like a thing. It was like, oh, there's a shipwreck, you go down, you get the things you can, you sell what you can, you know, tough times. But there were people who were a little less scrupulous, and they would go and put a light in the, in an area to misguide a ship to go over the rocks. And so there's definitely some like things attached to the many things. And this is a museum laden with things. So I had actually a couple of things happen when I was in Key West. And so I guess my point to that is I think it's also common for people to have like a feeling like of extreme coldness, maybe extreme lightheadedness that they can't explain, or sometimes warmth. You know, I've had that happen a few times. There's a cemetery right by my house that, because I'm me, I walk through the cemetery every day on my daily walk. And not every time I walk through, but frequently when I walk through, I hit kind of about halfway and just this overwhelming feeling of happiness and joy hits me. And now I'm happy in a cemetery, I'll admit that, but this is a little different. This is like tingles up and down my spine, but very, very joyful. And then one time I was walking through and I got that. And then I walked a little further on and I got like a, you know, big hit of something negative. I don't know what it was, but I, I hurried on my way, that's for sure.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Do you have a pet, Varla?
I have cats, yeah.
Are they sensitive to the other side?
So I think I have a dog that barks randomly at things, definitely. But I have a black cat that I've had for years. It's kind of my long companion. And there have been a few times when I think I felt something and I'll kind of like look up and look around and he's almost inevitably in the room with me at that time. So he seems to be the one. The other two are kind of oblivious, quite frankly.
Amazing. You have talked about the paranormal parlor games. What are they?
So kind of something like I think of as that period of time in which the spiritualist, just to give you like a quick overview. So like the spiritualist movement, which still exists, people are still practicing spiritualists, but it really became like a movement and at its sort of peak in the U.S. And it was also, present in Europe and throughout England and Ireland and Canada, but primarily in the U.S., it peaked after the Civil War. And the spiritualism being the belief not just that you can communicate with the dead, but that the dead actually have messages for us. So many of our paranormal practices today are based on the rise of spiritualism and the belief that because, of course, we've been trying to communicate with the dead and the divine for, since we realized that we were mortal. But spiritualism as a sort of like practice, and also just not just the idea that we're communicating, but we're getting messages, and those are messages that can help us. They can help society as a whole. They can kind of guide people and also deliver messages of comfort. So the spiritualist movement then, not surprisingly, was kind of started to spike after the Civil War, mm-hmm. So, 1965 or so. And then through the 1840 to like 1930 is really when it was like very popular. And during this time, it became very popular to conduct seances, and it was frequently people of, you know, upper echelons of society who had spare parlors and lovely dining tables who would host these mediums who would come through town, and they would travel, you know, they would, there was a circuit, you know, they traveled the circuit. And people would attend these seances, and it was people who were believers, people who were disbelievers, people who were devout Catholics, people, you know, would go to these sort of, I guess, like a paranormal salon on a Saturday afternoon or evening, and then they'd, you know, get up and go to church. So it wasn't viewed as like an evil thing or in conflict in any way with the, I'm sure some people in the church believed that it was, you know, cahoots with the devil and such. But by and large, it became this very, very big movement. It was very popular. And out of that came the Ouija board and the mm-hmm. regular use of the Ouija board and other kind of means, spirit boards. They weren't always all called that, but spirit boards, various forms of scrying and channeling, basically automatic writing, usually through the guidance. In spiritualism, there usually needs to be a medium present to conduct these things. And then, of course, eventually people began just sort of experimenting with these things at home. And, you know, Parker Brothers started cranking out the Ouija board. And, you know, it still continues today. So those paranormal parlor games are all of those kind of things. And you think of like that Victorian parlor and people sitting around, you know, putting their hands on the table and lighting candles and actually really collectively trying to make contact with the spirit world, and many of them believing that that was an absolute possibility. And a lot of very interesting stories came out of that time. So those are the kind of paranormal parlor games.
My mother's very spiritual, Varla, still with us, 93. But I remember her taking me to what they were called Crying Virgin Mary statue events. And somebody would bring the statue into a house that would be full of people, primarily women, but full of people who would be in the parlor, family room, living room, whatever you want to call it. And they would have the statue there, and they would pray and wait for it and hope for it to cry. Well, I was never there when it cried. But these were these were events that they called miracles all over the country. And they would bring these statues of crying Virgin Marys there, which were, I guess, you know, you'd call it more religious than paranormal, but it still was weird, especially when you're a 10-year-old little boy.
Right. But I mean, there is an intersection there with this kind of belief that a statue can cry and that, you know, you can make contact with the dead, the divine, the dead, right? That's what you're trying to make, and a seance is a different kind of ritual than a prayer. So I think there's a lot of commonality in that, and that's why it was able, the spiritualist movement became so popular.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern, and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. and some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait.
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.